Tim, I believe this is brethren we have met to.
Amen. See, it's good to see you this morning. Glad that you're here. And kids, if you like to go to Sunday school, children's church, you feel go with Sarah now. And so thankful to have young people and children's church, and we got nursery babies, and that's always a good thing. And you know, we have sometimes we get disgruntled with a little bit of noise or somewhat, but it, you know, a crying baby is a blessing because it means we have young people in the church and that there's a future for the church. And when kids are running, playing, you know, we say, don't run, think, you know, thankful that we have kids that want to be in church, and so thankful for that. And you know, thankful for the opportunity as well. Leslie and I spent last week in Raleigh, North Carolina, and we had just a good time of relaxing, and were able to do some things and saw some friends and some family that we hadn't seen in a while. That was very good. And whenever you go on vacation, you try to at least have a somewhat of a plan. Not one of those, you know, some people plan every second, you know, down to the thing, you know, you need to be here at such and such, and, you know, we're not quite that bad, but generally, you at least have some general idea about what you want to do, and you can, you know, hopefully you pack maybe the night before. And you try to make sure you have everything, you know, in your bag that you're going to need. But inevitably, you forget something. Inevitably, you know, the things that you plan to do, you're not able to do for whatever reason. And so sometimes our plans don't work out. But this morning, I want us to know that there's one whose plans always work out how he wants them to. And that's God's plans. Though your plans and my plans don't always go according to plan, God's plans always do. And so I hope we'll see today that we are part of God's plan. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke today and for the next few weeks leading up to Easter. And here in Luke chapter 22, where we're going to pick up today, is one of the longest chapters in Luke. Lots of different things that we'll talk about that I want to bring up. But it's getting to that point where we're coming up on Easter. And for us, you know, Easter is a wonderful thing. It's something that we celebrate. But before Easter could come, Good Friday had to come. And we call it Good Friday because it was good for us, not so good for Jesus. But it was good for us because of Jesus' sacrifice and because he was willing to lay his life down to shed his innocent blood, whosoever would call upon the name of the Lord would be saved. And I'm glad that I'm included in the whosoevers, and I hope you are as well. Thankful for that great promise that we have. And so Jesus has been celebrating in the early part of this chapter. He celebrated the Passover with his disciples in the upper room. They finished that Passover celebration and gone out into the garden to pray. And that's where Jesus prayed this great prayer. You remember he said, "Father, let this cup pass from me, but not your will, or not my will but be done, but your will be done." Jesus prayed that often. Remember, that's part of the model or the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught at the beginning of his ministry, wasn't it? And we see that echoed here now at what assuredly was one of the most difficult weeks of the Lord's life. And so it just celebrated the Passover, instituted the Lord's Supper, and is now in a garden with his disciples praying. Remember, they couldn't stay up. They they all fell asleep. It was, or you know, kind of an unusual time, so that was part of it. But also, you know, but let's pick up beginning in verse 47 of chapter 22. It says, "While he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he was, who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, 'Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?' And those around him saw what was going to happen. They said to him, 'Lord, shall we strike him with a sword?' And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, 'Permit even this.' And he touched his ear and he healed him. And Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, 'Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness.' Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. Peter followed at a distance. And now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, 'This man was also with him.' But he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I do not know him.' And a little while another saw him and said, 'You also are of them.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And then after an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Surely this fellow is also with him, for he is a Galilean.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you are saying.' And immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' So Peter went out and wept bitterly." We find here an interesting take, and there's some details that Luke records for us that are not in the other four Gospels. By the way, that's a challenge that I issue to you this week and next week as we get ready for Easter. Take a minute and read through the four Gospels, the betrayal of Jesus and his crucifixion and the Easter story. They all have a little bit different account. Part of that is because they were written by four different people. Part of it is they were written by four different reasons and perspectives. And Luke records for us one of the most interesting, because some of the details here, Luke is the only one that mentions that Peter, after he denied Jesus, Luke says, Jesus looked at Peter. And Peter knew what he had done. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Well, Luke was a doctor. He wrote also the book of Acts. His gospel is much more detailed than the other three in a lot of different ways. Part of the reason is because Luke was not a first-hand participant in the things that he writes about in the gospel. He was a after-the-fact researcher, if you will, a journalist. And he did what journalists are supposed to do. He dug up facts. And unquestionably, one of his sources for Luke chapter 22 was the Apostle Peter. And as Peter retold this story, he included these great details. But as we read these verses, we have to remember that we are part of his plan. I want you to understand that everything that happened in the Gospels, even the coming of Christ, where he came, when he came, was all part of his plan. Even the episode that we have just seen, Scripture foretells hundreds of years before that Jesus would be betrayed. Not only that he would be betrayed, but that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. And guess what? That's exactly what came to pass. And so we should know in the midst of this, as we prepare for and approach Easter, that it was all part of God's plan. God's plan is not like our plan. We probably would have arranged some things differently. His disciples certainly had planned things differently. Peter, you know, chopped off the high priest servant's, Malchus's, ear. They were ready to fight with their sword to the death to save Jesus. But Jesus' plan was that he would lay his life down all along. And so there's some things that we find here in this passage of Scripture that we read that's very interesting. And that as we think about that, we are part of God's plan, first of all, even in our betrayal. There's a lot of betrayal in the verses that we read. Judas was one of the disciples. He was the treasurer. He walked with Jesus, spent 3 years with Jesus, saw Jesus do some great miracles, even participated in some of the ministry of Jesus. Judas was certainly one that went out and proclaimed the gospel. You remember when Jesus sent out the disciples two by two, Judas was probably in that midst. And Judas was a part of what Jesus was doing. And yet Judas was also one who would betray him. And perhaps the betrayal is even more cutting or deep or hard. It's hard to find the right word, but it's hard to be betrayed by anybody, but especially somebody that you thought was your friend, by a loved one. That hurts much more. And that's exactly what Judas did. And yet, even in that, Judas had taken an allegiance and said, you know what, I'm going to follow Jesus. And he did. But he didn't follow him wholeheartedly. And so he was able to become part of these high priests and Pharisees' plans to do Jesus in. The Bible says that money is the root of all evil. Well, really, that verse is more accurately translated, the love of money is the root of all evil. And Judas loved Jesus, but he loved money even more. Earlier in this week, a lady who some say was Mary Magdalene, some say another Mary was a common name, just like it is today, had come to Jesus and brought this expensive box of perfume and opened that and anointed Jesus' feet and his head. And Judas' response to that was not, man, what? How awesome is it that people are paying such respect and see what the Lord is doing? Judas's response was, why is this lady wasting that perfume? Why, we could have taken that perfume and sold it and made some money for the Lord's work. Well, his motivation was not the Lord's work. His motivation was he was the one that held the purse, and he wanted that purse to be a little heavier. Evidently, Judas had a reputation, and those that knew him and knew of him knew that he would willingly betray the one that he said that he would follow. But we also find the betrayal of the high priest. And we don't often think about that when we talk about these verses and this incident. You know, the high priest was the one that was supposed to be the supreme representative of God to God's people. He was the one that was to lead all the other priests in worship and the things that they did in the temple. And he was the one that was primarily responsible for proclaiming God's word. And yet, these men betrayed the oath that they took to God as well. And they say, God, we're going to be not only part of your children, but we're going to lead your people in worship. And we're going to lead your people in your ways. And we're going to be your representative to the people. And we're going to bring the people's concerns and requests before you. That was what a priest's job was. And these priests denied and betrayed that oath. And yet, even that betrayal was part of God's plan. Betrayal is hard. Then we find Peter's betrayal. Peter's betrayal was not as final as the others' betrayals were. But he had another element that the others didn't have. Because if you read earlier in this chapter, and if you read the other gospel accounts, what you're going to find this week and next week, as you read those accounts, is that Jesus had told them as they sat at the Passover and said, "One of you is going to betray me." And they also, all 12 of them said, no, not us. And Peter spoke up. He was kind of the loud mouth and the first to speak, and sometimes spoke without really thinking about it and got him in trouble a few times. He said, "Lord, I will never, ever, ever forsake you. I will stick by you, Jesus." And Jesus said to him, "Peter, I tell you the truth that before this day ends, before the rooster crows to signal the next day, you'll have denied me not once, not twice, but three times." And remember, Peter said, "No, I ain't going to deny." But he said, "Not only are you going to deny me once, you're going to deny me three times." And so, Peter had also sort of betrayed Jesus and the oath that he took, and he certainly denied him, in fact, denied him three times. Three different occasions, he stood a little bit far off, which is, you know, Peter and his personality, that is not Peter's personality. Peter is right up there at front, but he was a little timid in this situation. And so he stayed a little bit far off. And they were in this courtyard outside of the home of the high priest where Jesus was being put on trial. And outside there was another trial taking place. Peter was on trial. And unfortunately, Peter failed the test miserably. A young girl came up to him and said, "Hey, you're one of that man's followers." He said, "Oh no, you're surely mistaken." And then a little while later, somebody else came and said, "Hey, you're one of those, aren't you? You're one of his." He said, "No, man, I don't know." And all the third, he says, "I don't know what you're even talking about." And when he uttered those words, Luke tells us, because Peter recounts the story for him, we said, "I don't even know what you're talking about." Jesus looked out of the window of the high priest's house, and his gaze fell on Peter. And Peter knew what he had done. And then the rooster crowed three, and Peter, surely enough, had denied Jesus three times. That was also part of God's plan. The prophecies of the Old Testament tell us that Jesus will be betrayed, tells us that he'll, by his stripes, Isaiah says, we are healed, we are made whole. Says that his friends, his family, those that should be closest to him will deny him, and that took place. But Peter's denial was not final. You look, I didn't put it in the PowerPoint, but if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 20, we find that it wasn't final. Jesus has been resurrected, and they've had Easter celebration, and they found the empty tomb, and I'm sorry, chapter 21. So they had all the Easter celebration and all those kind of things. Jesus had appeared to the disciples. And they'd gone back out fishing. And they came back and they find a man on the shore cooking breakfast. And Jesus said to them, "Do you have any food?" And they answered, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And they did, and they were not able to draw in the nets because of the multitude of fish. And so Jesus cooks breakfast for them. And then in verse 15, it says this, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said, 'Feed my lambs.' And he said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to them, 'Tend my sheep.' And he said to them a third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish.' This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" Now, there's a sermon in that passage just in itself. We're not going to take time to hash all of that out. But the reason I wanted us to turn there and why I asked you to read that was to show you and remind you Peter's denial was part of God's plan. Not that, you know, God wants us to deny him, not that God wants for us to do bad things, but because God knows that we're human beings, he knows that we're fallen, sinful creatures. He understands all about us. He knows our good, the bad, and the ugly. And he loves us anyway. Can I tell you something? Jesus Christ knew well before they gathered in the upper room who it was that would betray him. He knew that Peter would deny him. Now, I don't know about you, but I know human nature well enough to know if we know we're going to lose, we're prone not to show up to the game, aren't we? And yet Jesus, knowing even what he knew, showed up. Because he knew what the plan was. And he knew that, you know what, yes, Peter denied him, but the Lord restored Peter. And you read, you know, we've got one word for love in English. This is actually three different Greek words that Jesus used to ask Peter, do you love me? Or he asked him three different forms of that Greek, he used three different Greek words for love. Peter, knowing his betrayal, knowing his denial, he felt so unworthy. And it grieved him when Jesus asked him three times if he loved him. He says, Jesus, you know everything. You know that I really do want to serve you, and I want to. And so he issues the challenge again that he did at the beginning of the gospel to Peter and the other disciples. He said, follow me. And Peter did. Peter became one of the great early leaders of the church. And as we read in the book of Acts and we read of church history, Peter became one of the primary leaders. And Peter was ultimately martyred for his faith. And so, what Jesus said to him is, hey, listen, right now you're young, you go where you want. The day's going to come when, for my sake, people are going to take you where you don't want to go. And although Peter had denied Jesus three times, I think he never denied Jesus again. Because he finally realized how undeserving he was. And so he said, Lord, you know what? I'm going to serve you. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to go where you want me to go. I want to be part of your plan. You know, I've known some people, perhaps you have too, perhaps maybe you've even thought this, I'm just too bad for God to forgive me. I've done too much wrong. And the great news is that God will forgive you no matter what you've done, no matter how big of a mess you've made, no matter how much you've betrayed and denied Him, if we will ask Him to forgive us, He will, and restore us. And to make us new again. Part of his plan is that he takes our brokenness and our frailty and he mends us up, he binds our wounds, he makes us whole. And I'm so thankful for that. I hope you are too. You know what? Would God always did what he wanted and that we lived how we know we should? Yeah, he would rather. And by the way, it's always best for us to do things according to God's way. God's way is always the best way. It's oftentimes not the easiest way, and it's certainly not the fastest way, but it's the best way. But God knows that we wrestle and struggle, and we say, you know what? Sometimes it's our denial of Him. Sometimes it's denying that He has the power to change our life and to make us new. Sometimes it's denying that God can use us despite our past. I'm thankful that Jesus didn't pick the high priest to be one of his disciples. In fact, he didn't pick any of the religious uppity-ups. He picked a ragtag bunch of fishermen, tax collector, people that people didn't really want to be around, and said, come, follow me. And they did. Were they perfect? Absolutely not. They stumbled. They had more U-turns than, you know, you can track. And yet Jesus said, come, follow me, and they followed. And God used them. And here's the good news of that. It doesn't matter how imperfect you are, you are part of God's plan. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that God takes all things and works them together for good to those that love God and are called according to His purpose. What's God's purpose? Scripture tells us that God's purpose is that we would know God and that we would make Him known. The Bible says that God has created good works for us that we might walk in them. We're created to know God and we're created to be God's instruments. That's God's plan for your life. Now, God's plan might be for you to do that as a banker or a preacher or a missionary or accountant or teacher or any number of things. God uses us. He uses all of us in our different capacities as far as what our vocation is. He uses us in spite of ourselves. He uses us in spite of our failures. Sometimes because of our failures, Peter understood what grace was because he had received it. If Peter had never flubbed up, he would not have known God's grace. But he knew and experienced what it was for Jesus to not only forgive him, but to restore him. And so when Peter was called to go to Cornelius' house, a Gentile fellow that no self-respecting Jew would darken the door of their house, Peter went. Not only was Cornelius brought to saving faith, Cornelius' entire household was brought to saving faith. And the neighborhoods where Cornelius lived were brought to saving faith in Christ, and the church began to flourish. It would not have flourished as much if Peter didn't understand everyone is in need of God's grace and everyone can become a recipient of God's grace because it's part of God's plan. God loves you in spite of yourself. He loves you whether you want Him to love you or not. It's part of His plan. Peter denying Jesus, Judas denying and betraying Jesus, the high priest denying and betraying Jesus. Not even going against him, but saying, I don't have a part to play. God says, no, you're a part of the plan. Friend, I'm thankful that God's grace can save us in spite of ourselves. You say, you know what, I've gone too far. God can't save me. The truth of the matter is, Jesus did die for you, and He can save you, and He can make you new. God's plan is to make you into a beautiful masterpiece. You don't start out that way, but He will create and mold you into a masterpiece. That's something beautiful and something good. But in order for you to experience that, you have to recognize, you know what? Yeah, I've betrayed God. Certainly haven't done what He's wanted me to. You can't be saved until you realize you're lost. But once you realize it, you can do something about it. More importantly, Jesus did something about it, and you can receive what He did about it. He paid your sin debt. He paid my sin debt. He paid the sin debt of all the whosoevers in the world. And I'm glad He did. And then once you come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, He says the same thing they said to Peter. He said, come and follow me. It may be that God leads you across the street. It might mean he leads you across the world. But as long as you're with Jesus, there's nothing to fear, knowing that you're part of God's plan and you're right where he wants you to be. The safest, most secure place for a child of God is right where God wants you to be. And the most miserable place on the planet for a child of God is outside of where God wants him to be. But the thing is, we're the ones that choose. That's part of God's plan as well. We have the ability to choose or to reject him. We can follow his plan or we cannot. The choice is up to us. And I hope we'll make the decision to serve the Lord and to follow Jesus, because, friend, that is what it's about. That's where meaning and purpose and peace and joy come from in this life. Not in anything this world has to offer, but in Jesus, because of what Jesus has done for us. I'm thankful that you are a part of God's plan, and I hope you recognize that today. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness and your love to us. Lord, our prayer is that you would use us. Our prayer is that we would be obedient. Our prayer is that we would hear your call of follow me, and that we would follow. Lord, sometimes we betray, sometimes we deny, sometimes we get off course. And Lord, if there's someone here today that's their life, would you help them today to say, you know what, Lord, I'm off course. I need to get back on the right track. Like David, like Peter, or like so many others that had to cry out to you. All of us have had times in our life where we've had to cry out to you, Lord, forgive me. God, restore to me the joy of your salvation. Lord, we're thankful for your plan, that your plan includes us. God, help us to be obedient and faithful to you, we pray. Let's stand together this morning, and you know what? I hope you're glad to know you're part of God's plan. As we sing this hymn of response invitation this morning, would you think about the words, and would you mean the words? And then as we leave this place, will you go out and live these words that we're going to sing in just